Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. We read again verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Well, Happy New Year. New beginnings. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions this year? A few brave souls. How many of you have decided not to make New Year's resolutions this year because you knew you weren't going to keep them anyway? All right. Well, is it wise to make New Year's resolutions or not? We heard a lot about wisdom in today's scripture readings. Is it wisdom to try to improve at something in your life? Maybe getting in shape, or maybe doing something well at school or at work, or improving your financial situation this year, or maybe your social relationships with someone you love, or maybe your relationship with God. Maybe that needs improving. Or on the other hand, is it wisdom to know that you're really not actually going to follow up so well on that resolution? So, might as well just give up now. Is that wisdom? Is that the wisdom of this cynical world? Well, our text says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It doesn't say if he had a resolution or not. You see, in today's text, Luke makes us privy to the only episode in Jesus' life between his first year and his ministry when he's an adult. Mary and Joseph lose Jesus at the Passover, and they can't find him for 3 days. They lose Jesus at the Passover, and they can't find him for 3 days. Previewing what will happen at another Passover in Jesus' life. And they can't find Jesus for 3 days. But this time, he's only 12 years old. 12 years old sounds like some of our kids in confirmation class, who, by the way, just finished studying King Solomon, whom God blessed with enormous wisdom, as Nancy read earlier. The guy who built the first temple in Jerusalem, the very spot where Mary and Joseph now find Jesus, answering and asking questions with the learned rabbis of the day. The temple, Jesus, and wisdom. As Jesus speaks with the rabbis, maybe in your mind's eye, you can almost picture the locus of God's presence shifting from that stone temple to the living, breathing body of Jesus Christ himself. The Messiah had come. As God promised through the prophet Ezekiel, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and obey them. This promise is fulfilled in Jesus, that you and I may have a heart of flesh rather than a stony temple. And this also recalls what Moses said in Deuteronomy 4:6. Keep and do them, God's statutes and commandments, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord God is to us, whenever we call upon Him. That too was fulfilled in Jesus. Now, do you think these rabbis who were there sitting with Jesus that day knew how close their God was to Him in the divine nature of Jesus? Apparently not. For they probably wouldn't have been so amazed then at His wisdom and His understanding as He spoke to them. Biblical wisdom is this. It's simply what God reveals to us through Jesus Christ. Knowledge that leads us to repentance and to faith in Christ. And to live according to the way that God intends for us. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, the fear of the Lord is not cowering in dread or in terror before the Lord. The person who fears the Lord is the person who respects Him and who loves Him and who clings to Him. King Solomon's father, David, summed it up this way in Psalm 34. "I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears." The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. That's what Christ brings. "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing." So in other words, if you fear, love, and trust in God, there's nothing to be afraid of. Fearing the Lord means respecting Him and trusting Him. As Moses says, "For who has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him?" Let me tell you a story about a woman who so feared, loved, and trusted in God that she called upon Jesus. She called upon His name. And if you listen closely, you'll notice that a key part of this story happened exactly 100 years ago today. Her name was Rosa Young. Rosa was the daughter of Alabama slaves. And when she was growing up, there was no school for black children in rural Alabama. So she educated herself on her own. Well, not everybody is able to educate themselves. So in 1912, Rosa started a school to educate black children. She had practically no money or resources of her own. The school struggled its first year. And things didn't really get much better in the second year, but Rosa didn't give up. Yet despite her unflagging efforts, she could find no one really willing to help. She thought she was going to have to close the school. Here's what happened, in her own words. "That night I returned home. I prayed and prayed and prayed. Then I decided that I would write one more letter, and if no relief came then, I would close the school." Now the letter was to go to Dr. Booker T. Washington, our great leader. "I wrote Dr. Washington, but I felt that he had as much as he could look after already in the operation of the Tuskegee Institute. All, therefore, that I asked of him was to give me the name of some individual or some association in the North that he thought would help me to keep my school alive. The next day I mailed my letter, and then I prayed and waited for an answer. At last, one day, a letter came from the Tuskegee Institute signed by Booker T. Washington himself. In this letter, he told me he was unable to help me in the least, but he would advise me to write to the Board of Colored Missions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He said they were doing more for the colored race than any denomination he heard of. He liked them because of the religious training which they were giving the colored people. He gave me the address of Reverend Christopher F. Drews, who was then chairman of the Board of Colored Missions. Under separate cover, Dr. Washington sent me a small pamphlet called The Negro Yearbook. In this book could be found the names and addresses of individuals and organizations helping the colored people. He said that if I did not succeed with the Lutherans, I might write to the others, so that as that would do no harm. I read Dr. Washington's letter over and over, again and again. Then I waited about 2 weeks before I wrote to any of the parties he had mentioned. And during that time, I prayed almost incessantly. Many a night I fell asleep praying over the matter. In writing, I took my cure from Acts 1, 23 to 26, where the disciples of Jesus nominated two men to succeed Judas and cast lots for the Lord to show them which of the two he had chosen for his disciple in the place of Judas. So I wrote to every address on that page of the yearbook. When I had finished and sealed the letters, I said, "Now, whomever the Lord wills or allows to take my school, his heart he will move to do so. And if no one takes it, I shall be satisfied." Among those whom I wrote was Pastor Christopher F. Drews. The letter which I addressed to Pastor Drews follows. "Dear friend, I am writing you concerning a school I have organized. I began teaching here in 1912 with seven pupils in an old hall where the cattle went for shelter. Since then, I have bought with money collected in the community 5 acres of land and erected a 4-room schoolhouse thereon, besides a chapel which we are working on now. Bought 45 seats, 5 heaters, 1 school bell, 1 sewing machine, 1 piano, a nice collection of useful books, and 150 Bibles and New Testaments for our Bible training department. I am writing to see if your conference will take our school under its auspices. The school is located near the center of Wilcox County. The region is friendly. Both white and colored are interested in this school. I hope you will see your way clear to help us. Yours humbly, Rosa J. Young." I mailed my letters and went along praying day and night, asking the Lord to move someone's heart to heed our Macedonian cry, "Come over and help us." I believe in prayer. Prayer will bring you things nothing else can. One day, the mail brought me several replies to the letters I had written. To my surprise, they were all refusals. My courage fell when I read those letters. A short time passed, and one day a letter came from the sainted Reverend Nils J. Bakke. Reverend Drews had sent my letter to him with instructions to investigate the matter. He made no definite promise in this letter, but all through it, as I read it, I could see gleams of hope and encouragement in my great struggle. Pastor Bakke came limping down from the coach of the train with a crutch under his arm and a walking stick in his hand. A cold, sleeting rain was falling. He wore 3 coats, a dress coat, an overcoat, and a raincoat. You of my readers who knew him can picture him to your minds as he limped up to my father and introduced himself. The old gospel veteran of many a spiritual battle for the Savior was coming at God's command and direction to tell us about Jesus, our Savior, to preach the pure gospel to the colored people in the Black Belt of Alabama, to lead us out of darkness into light, and to blaze the way for other missionaries. That day, January 3rd, 1916, was a memorable day for our Alabama missions. The Holy Spirit worked wonderfully among the members of the Lutheran Mission Board. The board resolved to enter the door of opportunity at once. They instructed Reverend Bakke to return to Alabama and stay there until the work was well organized. They further resolved to retain the writer as a teacher at a salary of $20 a month. Thus was my prayer answered. The coming of the Lutheran Church to Alabama was providential. God only used me and the Rosebud School as instruments to place this church in the Black Belt and to lead us poor sinners out of spiritual darkness into light. To begin with, I knew nothing about the Lutheran Church and the great mission work it was carrying on among the colored people. And I had only a faint knowledge of Luther and the Reformation. But Jesus, who knows all things, knew about the Lutheran mission. Jesus is well pleased with the work of the Lutheran Church and willed to take my little Rosebud School and make out of it a Lutheran school, a Christian school, a Bible school for the saving of souls. That school became the Alabama Lutheran Academy. And today, January 3rd, 2016, that school is Concordia University in Selma, Alabama. Dear Christian friends, regardless of whether you made New Year's resolutions or not, it's folly to walk our own way instead of God's way. It's folly to put ourselves first instead of God. And it's folly to put ourselves over God's word and judge it rather than listen to it. From where then does wisdom come? God understands the way to it, and He knows its place. And He said to mankind, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding." Jesus, who knows all things, knows you too. He knows your heart of stone. He comes today to turn that into a heart of flesh. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Call upon His name. That is wisdom. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.